following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Have you been deceived? Don't be too sure, for I'm about to give you information, my friends, that you've probably never heard before. After the events of September 11th, 2001, many are saying that the fanatical terrorists involved hijacked the Muslim religion. They misused that religion for their evil purposes. That may well be true, but did you know that professing Christianity has also been hijacked? Absolutely hijacked. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith exposes how you have been deceived. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
If you were a counterfeiter and wanted to deceive people with your fake $100 bill, what would you do? Would you print a pink and polka dot bill? Or would you print a bill that looked very much like the original, like a real $100 bill? Both bills would look very much alike, that is, if you printed one like the original, but the counterfeit would be worth exactly nothing. My friends, there is a very real counterfeiter out there in the spirit world. His name is Satan the Devil, and the devil is called the Deceiver. He deceives people by making his religion look very much like true Christianity, except it isn't. And the teachings, like the counterfeit bill, are worth virtually nothing. Do you get the picture? Notice what your Bible says about this subject. I ask you to go get your Bible. I don't want you to believe me. I don't want you to believe any man. You need to check up. You need to prove things probably more than you have ever done in your life. Study and prove these things out of your own Bible. Turn to Revelation chapter 12 if you have a Bible handy. Turn to Revelation 12, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. God says the whole world has been deceived. Notice what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write back in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. Paul wrote, "But even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the glory of God should shine unto them." Yes, Satan has blinded literally billions of human beings. And so he's been called the God of this world or the God of this age, as it is in this New King James Version that I'm reading from. Notice back in 2 Corinthians now, chapter 11 this time. Turn to chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1. The Apostle Paul was talking here heartfeltly to these Corinthians whom he had brought into the truth. He's concerned about them because they were getting all mixed up as people today do about what true Christianity really is. "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." They were to be the affianced bride of Christ. Christ is the living head of the church, and he wanted them to be really faithful to Christ and to the true Christ. "But I fear," Paul wrote, "lest somehow, as the serpent," that is Satan the devil, "deceived Eve by his craftiness," yes, Satan is very crafty, very cunning, "so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus," a lot of you heard about Jesus, just believe on the Lord and you'll be saved. Give your heart to Jesus. Get sentimental about the name of Jesus. That's the message of mainstream Christianity, isn't it? But they preach a different Jesus, my friends, and that's what you've got to come to understand if you want to be protected from the horrifying things that are about to come on this nation and on the entire world. God wants us to do what he says in the Bible, not just believe whatever comes along. He says, "If he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. He said, you folks are sentimental, you go along with whatever comes along, and you might just put up with a different gospel, a different Jesus, a different spirit. My friend, Satan's message is totally different from the biblical message. Satan's gospel is not God's gospel. It pictures an entirely different thing from what we've been giving you over and over on this program. Think of all the hundreds of churches out there. Millions of sincere people go there to worship at these various churches. Do you realize that most of their doctrines are diametrically contrary to those taught by Christ and His original apostles? They say you're going to go to heaven when you die with nothing to do. The Bible says very clearly, as we've shown you on this program over and over, no, you're going to be on this earth under Jesus Christ if you're a true saint of God, helping Him rule this world. We've given you that again and again. The world often teaches you Christ spoke in parables to make the meaning clear. And you can find in the Bible where it very clearly says, Christ spoke in parables lest they see and lest they understand and be converted. He was not trying to save them. The world says God's trying to save everybody right now. Now is the day of salvation. And God says, no, not now is not the time for everybody to be saved. No man can come to God unless the Spirit, or to the Son, I should say, unless the Spirit of the Father draw him. Jesus said that. No man can come to the Son. John 6 and verse 44, and repeated again in verse 65. And yet the vast majority of human beings have never been called. They don't understand. They've never even heard the name of Christ. The vast majority of human beings in the last 6,000 years, they do not understand. God has not yet opened their minds. The Bible says one thing, and mankind and its religion says another. How has Satan been able to deceive the vast majority of people? Think about it. For Satan is fiendishly clever, and he uses many methods to deceive. But Satan has three primary methods to deceive people in our professing Christianity. In the Christian society, he uses three primary methods. One, Satan makes people believe that God is not real. He does this either through evolution, you know, where they think, well, everything just sort of happened. We came from the warm ocean slime. Or atheism, they don't necessarily believe exactly in evolution, but they don't believe in a God. Or he will do it through deism. That is the idea of the first cause, that God is out there somewhere, a divine spark, but not a real person, not really working out a purpose here below, having no power. So Satan gets them off the track with that kind of intellectuality. Secondly, Satan causes people to put an emotional emphasis just on the name of Christ. Just believe. And they have a false faith. They have an empty faith. They have a faith that is not real faith at all, and that is in a false Christ often. And so they use the name of Christ to deceive many, but they don't teach His message. Thirdly, Satan distracts people or confuses them. He gets them involved in the cares of this world. And they get them involved so that they don't take the Bible literally. They say, well, people read all kinds of things out of the Bible. No, they don't. What they do is read all kinds of things into the Bible, which is not there, and which we have proved to you on this program and will continue to prove. They don't read all those things out of the Bible. They read their ideas into the Bible, which are not there. Have you been deceived by one of these methods? Think about it. At this point, I invite you to call or write for our very eye-opening booklet entitled Restoring Apostolic Christianity. Somewhere on this earth, there are people who know the truth, and you'd better find out where they are and what the true religion is. This booklet clearly documents how original Christianity was hijacked by Satan and his false ministers. This is a powerful booklet, my friends. You'll really enjoy it. It is well documented. This powerful booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity, will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. So pick up the phone and call now. Just ask for the booklet on Apostolic Christianity. Call now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P. P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. We were in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We were talking about the fact that most human beings have been deceived. You need to ask yourself, as I've said, have you been deceived? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus..." There are many Jesuses out there, and we need to understand that, "whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." And my friends, you may well put up with it, and many of you have been putting up with it, because that's all you've ever heard. You've heard about a different Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible, many of you. Be honest. Check up on me. I don't ask you to believe me, but believe what you read in this book. Learn to really study this book. Check up on me, but check up on all professing ministers. Find out who is really preaching this book. Different ministers on television or radio will say, "The Bible says," and the Bible says no such thing. And they don't quote the Bible often when they say that. They just say, "The Bible says." You need to find out if the Bible says that. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 now. Matthew, in your New Testament, Matthew chapter 24, here is Jesus Christ speaking about the end of the age, the time we're in right now when world events are picking up. "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and when will be the sign of your coming and the end of this age?' And Jesus answered and said, 'Take heed that no one deceives you.'" That was his first warning. Watch out for false ministers. Notice, "for many," not a few oddballs, he said the many, "many will come in my name," they'll come in the name of Christ, "saying, 'I am the Christ.'" They're not going to say they are the Christ. Jesus is talking. He said they will say that Jesus is the Christ. They will talk about Jesus, little Lord Jesus. Give your heart to the Lord. Surrender to Christ. You know, give your heart to Him. All this kind of thing. All kinds of sentimental statements about the name of Christ or the person of Christ, but not preaching His message. That is the whole point. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars and so on." He went to God to show the world events that are going to take place. And so one of the main things to watch for is false Christs preaching, of course, false messages. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." Christ did not come to do away with God's law, God's Ten Commandments, God's whole way of life that He'd given. "I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one tittle shall pass away from God's law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments..." It doesn't make any difference. A lot of people want to pick on the fourth commandment of the ten. And they try to do away with that because they don't like that commandment. Others will pick on the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." And they'll think, well, we ought to be able to kill in certain kinds of war, and that's all right. Others will pick on the commandment against adultery and divorce and remarriage, which Jesus talked about very clearly. And they say, well, we don't have to follow Christ. We'll just divorce and remarry for any reason we want to. And that's the way they do. They have a way of twisting all the commandments around, doing away with them utterly, or simply twisting and perverting their meaning. He said to this, "Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven." Then say they'll be there. Frankly, other scriptures show they won't even be there unless they repent later on. "But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Wow, the way to be great in God's kingdom, according to the very founder of Christianity, is to do and teach even the least of God's commandments. How diametrically contrary that is from the kind of no-works gospel we find today. Having an empty faith, just believe, they say, nothing to do. Oh no, that is exactly opposite of what Christ taught in your New Testament over and over. notice in verses 20 here through about 23, he says you're not only not to hate, not to kill, I mean, you're not even to hate. You're not even to have the spirit of murder. Notice verse 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, Jesus said. But I say unto you, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And yet our whole advertising profession today, it seems, is based upon showing half-naked women selling everything from toothpicks to motorboats. Think about it. That's what we're into as a society. And yet we say we're a Christian society. No, we're not. We don't even begin to start to act Christian in our society with a rising crime rate, the millions of little babies aborted and murdered every year and all this kind of thing. So we're not keeping this either. You're not to lust after a woman, and that is adultery. Jesus said so. Notice over in chapter 7 now, Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You've got to do a lot more than just say, Lord, Lord, and profess Jesus. Just believe on Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus, as they say. Oh, no, that is not enough. He says, you have got to do the will of my Father in heaven. Please think about that. For your good, the good of your family, the good of your whole future, as these prophetic events speed up that are beginning to take place today, and American, the British descended people come under attack, and we go down, and the pride of our power is broken, you need to begin to know God. You need to begin to know the true God and to understand how to live and what to do. You really do. This playhouse, this little society we've constructed is about to be broken up, my friends. A whole different way of life is coming in tomorrow's world. You need to get ready. You need to understand. Jesus said, you're to do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Lots of preachers say, oh, we preach the name of Jesus. Just give your heart to the Lord. Haven't we cast out demons in your name? They often say the demons of ignorance and superstition, not real demons. Most of them don't even know what a real demon is. And done many wonders in your name. They'll claim to do various things in the name of Christ. And then I will declare to them, these people who have not really done God's will, these ministers who have not preached the true Christ, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, notice, you who practice lawlessness. That's what it says right here in the New King James Version. You who practice lawlessness, the Greek word anomos, against law, is here in the original Greek. Those who teach against God's law will not be there. They're not going to be in God's kingdom because they have done away with the whole foundation of true Christianity. And God wants us to keep all 10 of the 10 commandments to tell us how to love God, how to love our neighbor in detail. And we're supposed to live that way of life. Don't you think the founder of Christianity knows what Christianity is all about? This is what he's telling us right here. Turn to Matthew 19 now, if you would. Here again, Jesus Christ is telling us what Christianity is all about. Matthew 19:16. One came to him saying, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good, but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, all right, my friends, here it is. Do you want to live forever? Do you want to be in the kingdom of God? Do you want to fulfill the purpose for which God put you on this earth and for which you're drawing breath? If you want to enter life, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, said, keep the commandments, plural. Keep them. Don't just talk about them. Keep them. He said, which? And Jesus began to name some of the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and so on. These were Jews talking to him. They all knew what the commandments were, and they all knew that there were 10 of them. People will say, how can you do that? And lots of modern ministers say, you can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. I've said it many times, but I'm going to give you here and then again later. Here's the way to do it. And I've had whole programs on that and will again. Galatians 2, turn to it, Galatians 2 and verse 20 in your Bible. Here's the Apostle Paul, who said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives his life through the Holy Spirit in the true Christian. So it is not you that keep the commandments in your human strength. It is not me that keep the Ten Commandments in my human strength. It is Jesus Christ keeping the commandments in us through the Holy Spirit if we truly surrender to Christ and to repent of breaking those commandments, repent of going the wrong way and say, God, I really want to do what you say. I will listen. I will learn. I will act. I will obey. Then you can be given God's precious Holy Spirit. And then Christ can and will live his life in you. And he will help you keep the commandments. And then some false minister may say to you, well, you can't do it perfectly. I say, yes, you can't. Christ can. Will he do it perfectly all at once in you or me? No. That's why the Bible says, grow in grace and in knowledge. But you are to learn to keep the Ten Commandments as a way of life. And Jesus showed that very clearly over and over. Notice Matthew chapter 28 now. Matthew chapter 28, the very last few verses, the very end of Jesus' ministry, after his resurrection, after everything was nailed to the cross that was nailed there, here's what Jesus said. Verse 18, he came and spoke to his disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, not just the Jews. This was not just for the Jews, of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, what? Just to give their heart to the Lord and then come up with all their funny ideas and different ideas and all these over 400 different sects and denominations calling itself Christian? Is that what he said? No. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Not some new thing. He didn't say, now I just got through being crucified and my friends, the Ten Commandments are all nailed to the cross. Jesus did not say that. He said, teach them all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The very end of the age. That's what they were to do to the end. Teach that same way of life. What way of life? We read it back in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 and 19, didn't we? Where he said, those who teach even the least of these commandments and do them will be great in the kingdom of heaven. We read it in Matthew 19:17, where Jesus told the young man, if you would enter into life, keep the commandments, and then begin to name some of the Ten Commandments. How plain can we get? You say, well, I've heard some clever arguments. Some ministers trying to get around that is saying the commandments were nailed to the cross. Well, I've heard all kinds of clever arguments about it. If you get our booklets, our Bible study course we have, you'll find out how to answer all those arguments. We can't cover all those arguments every time, but the Apostle Paul taught the commandments. He kept the commandments. They would have actually stoned Paul and run him out of town much sooner than they tried to if he'd come along teaching a different Sabbath, for instance, than the Sabbath of God that they were keeping there along with the Jews. If he came along preaching just a message about believe on Jesus without law, those Jews all believed in God's law back there in the book of Acts. It would have created an absolute uproar if he'd done that. They had this big Jerusalem conference mentioned in Acts chapter 15 just about the little ordinance called circumcision, which was not near as important as the Ten Commandments, and that created a furor. How much greater a furor if the Apostle Paul had tried to do away with the law of God itself, or God's Sabbath day, the sign designating where God's true people are. Why do the vast majority of professing ministers say, just believe? Why do they say the Ten Commandments are just a good moral guide, but you don't have to really keep them? Why do professing ministers deny the teaching of the very founder of Christianity, Jesus Christ? You need to ask yourself those questions. Again, my friends, I invite you to call us or write us to request a copy of this eye-opening booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity. This booklet spells out the true religion of Jesus Christ and the original apostles in a way you have probably never heard before. It clearly documents how original Christianity was hijacked by Satan and his false ministers. And we give you this not just from the Bible, but from historical documents. They're in here. Remember, this powerful booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity, will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. So pick up the phone and call now. Just ask for the booklet on apostolic Christianity.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
My friends, please remember that Christ's body was nailed to the cross, just his body. His message was not nailed to the cross. Please think about that. In James, the second chapter, near the end of your New Testament, he was the Lord's brother, inspired to write this book. James 2, verses 8 to 12. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. My friends, if God's law was done away, it wouldn't convict anybody of anything. He says, the law will convict you, for whoever shall keep the whole law, notice this, the whole law, and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not murder. Now if you commit no adultery, but you murder, you become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do, as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. And he's describing this very clearly here as the law of liberty. Because if the whole world kept this law, there would be real liberty. No war, no murder, no divorce, all the rest of it. We would have a kind of liberty we have never known. So we want to understand and we want to respond. I hope all of you will now write in for this powerful book that we have for you, Restoring Apostolic Christianity. Christ's message is clear from one end of the Bible to the other. May God help you to study and understand. Call now. The operators are waiting. Tune in every week to the Tomorrow's World television program. Each week, Richard Ames and I will give you the real meaning behind today's news, and we'll give you the meaning of life itself. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.